Find this podcast and others like it at the number one new media network, Podshow.com. Better, faster, stronger. And now with new minty fresh scent.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
Begin to flow.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 89. I'm Peter Maverick.
And I'm Amy Matheny.
Hi.
Hello, Peter.
How are you?
I'm very excited. We've just had like this theatrical overdrive of just like going to theater together.
We sure have.
Just went to the Goodman together to see Rabbit Hole. You're going to Broadway in Chicago next week to see Kathleen Turner. And who's afraid of Va-Wolf?
Va-Wolf.
I'm trying to get tickets myself. I cannot go to press opening, but and you know, it's just it's an exciting time of year. I don't
know. It is. Spring
like
is springing all over the place. I love that. You know, spring always brings a new life into the city, be it theater, music, dance. You just about name it. Anything creative sort of explodes on the scene. And plus, always in the music scene, especially in the dance world, you know, as it starts to heat up physically. The Winter Music Conference was just a little while ago, so now everything's starting to be released and all that good stuff. And so, you know, all our favorites are rolling around and doing their things out there.
You know, it's really strange what's about to start happening here in just a couple of weeks in my home state of Tennessee. Mm. And is that, you know, Dollywood officially opens its doors.
That's right.
I believe it's either the last few days of March or the first few days of April. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, you know, you and I are both fans of the logo.
Yes.
I love to watch the short clicks. I love to watch the New Next Now, the music videos and everything.
I'm catching up on all the good gay movies I didn't see.
Yeah. But they had this thing on their Real Momentum show called For the Love of Dolly, which was this huge documentary of just these absolute Dolly freaks. Now, the two gay guys, they profile like a young kid who has cystic fibrosis or something. And then these two insane women who are straight women, but literally are insane. And then these two very sweet gay men. And I have to tell you, it was the funniest thing because, you know, there's always been this buzz out there that Dolly is
she might
had
be
a relationship
the
with
she might
her.
Be Lebanese, yes.
Yeah, with her friend Judy Ogle, who, you know, has always been her friend since she was a little girl. And
always seen with her.
These two crazy women, they break into, they know what Judy's car looks like and Dolly's car looks like. And one of them bought her house like in between, like, I turn right off here, Judy lives there. I turn left off here,
God.
Judy lives, you know, Dolly lives there.
Stalker.
Oh, that's like an understatement. I don't even know what to call these people, like amoebas or something that's trying to suction on, you know? So they literally see in a car lot, a car dealership, possibly being serviced, what they think is Judy Ogle's car. And they break into the car because the car is unlocked. They get in the car.
So wait, the camera crew is like filming these people
filming this
while they're busting into a car.
It made me so uncomfortable. I thought the whole thing was funny until this moment. And it made me so uncomfortable. But then I got really giddy crazy because they break into the car and they're like smelling the seat and they're like picking pieces of hair, like trying to find Dolly's hair, licking the seatbelt, freaking out. Well, they didn't lick the seatbelt until they open the glove compartment and they find their State Farm, State of Tennessee insurance cards. And there's two insurance cards. One they pick up, goes, oh, my, she goes, oh my God. And it says Ogle, Judy. And they show it on the camera. They bar out, you know, all the numbers and everything. And then they go, oh my God. And they pull out another one and it says Ogle, Judy and Dean, Dolly P. Now, why would they have a joint insurance card? That's so weird.
Because Dolly got money and she don't.
Well, she needs to get a new hairstylist. That Judy Ogle, she got her like mullet thing going.
Well, you know, gotta have the femme in the putch.
Oh my God. I have to tell you. Yeah, there you go. Sisters. But if you have not seen this documentary, it is great. I was talking to Cynthia in our office about it because her girlfriend loves Dolly Parton. Yeah. She knows I love Dolly Parton and her girlfriend loves Helen Mirren. I'm like, am I your girlfriend?
Right,
I don't know.
Exactly. How do I... Mind melt, Vulcan mind melt.
Everybody I know has been talking about this
documentary. Haven't seen it. So,
for the love of Dolly on Real Momentum for all those Dolly fans. I must call Steven.
So what's it called? Real Momentum?
Real Momentum is what you would TiVo or what you would DVR.
Real Momentum.
And the topic is For the Love of Dolly. So just, you know, that's an honor of Pigeon Forge Dollywood opening up.
God,
everybody should head on down to Tennessee.
Because you ride the little roller coaster, buy you some lye soap.
Yeah, because I'm heading to Tennessee. So it's all good.
What do they call them there? Do they call them fritters? Or elephant ears. I think they call them fritters.
Probably fritters.
Because up here is we call it elephant ears, like the big piece of fried dough with the sugar and the spice.
Oh, yeah. Probably fritters.
Fritters. Yeah. That's the southern equivalent. Fritters versus. We call them elephant ears. So,
yeah.
I can't wait. That's a good thing about spring, too, is that all these music festivals are going to start and so much is going on.
They're starting to announce concerts.
Everything, you know, the True Colors Tour, I think we talked about it once on the show. It's magically...
We're hoping to have some people from the True Colors Tour throughout the next few months.
Hoping to get some people on there. I have my tickets already printed out and they're at my desk. I couldn't trust myself to bring them home because I thought I might throw them away accidentally. So they're at my desk.
There you go.
They're there. They're good. You know, the news is kind of crazy though. I love now that you can just plop down on CNN.com or any of the big news wires and like there's tons of gay stories. Like the word gay is almost always on the front page these days.
Well, because we are obviously front page news.
Absolutely.
We need to get off the gays' backs in the political arena, and yet it's great press for us.
It is.
We're every fucking where.
If we were a package of cereal, people would buy it all over the place. There's this interesting
Who would be
story.
On our cover box? Wheaties. Wheaties.
Who would be on the cover?
Would it be athletes or would it be like musical stars or television stars?
Anyway, Leah DeLaria.
We'll think on that.
It would be Leah DeLaria. Yeah.
Who do you want to wake up? Like,
whoa, you wouldn't need coffee if you just had her picture on the Wheaties box in the morning. She is a sweet woman, though. I've talked to her before. She's quite nice.
Yes.
But there's this interesting thing happened. You know, we're talking about spring and we're talking about new life and new things like that. But our culture and our population is aging. We're not getting any younger.
No.
Do you know what I missed, unfortunately? And Barbara Gittings passed away.
Oh my God.
Barbara Gittings passed away in February and I feel like a complete fool because I just now realized that and I'm so sad and she
Did
had
I
a,
know that?
She, no, we didn't do a news segment on it. I don't know how it slipped past us. For those of you who don't know, if you've seen the Before Stonewall and After Stonewall movie series, Barbara Gittings is heavily involved in both of them. She was huge in the gay rights movement, part of the Mattachine Society, just a great person to explore on the internet. Gittings, G-I-T-T-I-N-G-S. I highly recommend you Google the heck out of her.
I think we talked about it, Peter.
I don't remember her passing away. I remember us talking about trying to get her on the show to talk about the aging queer population.
Okay.
But I don't remember us talking about her. So I just had to put that out there because it did not get the press that I thought it deserved.
Yeah.
Really and truly. And, you know, in keeping with the theme of the aging queer population, and, you know, I like to use the word queer because it's better than that. But CNN did a story on in LA, they're doing like low cost housing development specifically for gay and lesbian and transgender retirees.
Yeah. Well, they need that.
We need it.
We want to have different nights. We don't want to have, you know, bingo night. We want to have like gay film night.
Why not? Like, Exactly.
Golf outings.
And you know, there's in a lot of the aging gay population, there just tends to be some different health concerns at the moment with us. Now, when we get there, I don't know. I think it's going to be a little different. But, you know, HIV and AIDS tends to be a little bit more prevalent in our population as we get older. Statistically speaking, it's just up there these days, which is quite unfortunate. But there were, I guess, some people that they were talking to that were saying to find a retirement home, they kind of had to closet themselves.
Huh.
And in order to be accepted in the retirement home or to be accepted in the community, you know, it's usually couples or singles. It's male and female couples or single individuals, not two men living together, two women living together. So it's interesting that LA kicked it off. I also saw some stories that in Europe, they're starting to do it in a big way. And of course, Tony Blair is all happy about, you know, he likes the gays. He's good with the gay and everything. But it's just interesting that there are always these fringe populations we talk about. We miss out on the kids and we miss out on the older people. So
well, you know, it's interesting because I remember a number of years ago, even around here, you know, there were some retirement home, even nursing homes that were really trying to reach out to gay people, you know, and that they were going to have like a gay floor or a gay wing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it hasn't really taken off. And I do think, though, that some retirement communities are starting to take off in some of the Florida and even out west in the Long Beach and all that kind of area. But yeah, I think this is really going to be the next big story. I think it's the boomers and that age group, the 50 somethings really start thinking about what their latter years are going to
be.
It's going to be the next big story. So interesting. The CNN's already picking it up.
Yeah. And there's all these ramifications, us talking about, you know, military and all these military ad infinitum. You have all these vets who are getting benefits when they die. Can they pass things on to their partners?
Yeah.
There's all these associated issues that just really surround that.
And as Susie Orman said, it's all about money. And
honey,
I bet she's going to start really fighting for it because she said, you know, my partner and I have a very nice portfolio. And,
a huge portfolio. If one of them goes,
sure. So yeah, it's pretty crazy, I have to say.
It is.
Well, you know, two people who grew old together, at least a bit in a way, along the storyline of The Color Purple, the main character, Seeley and Suge
Nice
Avery.
Segue.
Thank you. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I've known about The Color Purple, the musical, for quite a while. Mm-hmm. Felicia Fields is a buddy of mine. And when she was starting to get music and tracks from the show because she was attached to the show.
We were on the radio then.
We
were talking about it then.
Felicia and I were doing a show together. And so I've just been hearing about this. And I'm a huge fan of the book. I mean, I remember the year that The Color Purple came out and Out of Africa came out. And this was... I was in high school and I was just young in high school and I was just burgeoning forth that I loved film and acting and all of this. And so really made a huge impression on me. Well, it's going to make a huge impression on the city of Chicago.
Absolutely.
It already is in New York City as now Fantasia Barrino from American Idol has taken over on Broadway as the
How'd
lead.
How'd she learn her lines?
I know, it's good. But now here in Chicago, The Color Purple is going to sit down here with us for a little while, sit a spell. And I have to tell you, I got to sit a spell with the two actresses, beautiful and talented and really just genuine and soulful. Jeanette Bayardell, who is coming to us from the Broadway production, is playing Seeley. And also her Suge Avery is going to be former member of Destiny's Child, Michelle Williams. So it's very exciting. I got to sit down with them, talk about the show, talk about the fact that this lesbian relationship that was very underplayed in the Steven Spielberg film.
Absolutely underplayed.
Yeah. And
it was just on TV the other day.
Really? Yeah. Did you watch it?
Oh my God.
Oh, you have to.
You kept to drop everything. Oops, Color Purple's on.
You told Hopple to beat me. And you know, is brought really to the forefront with some beautiful music and beautiful moments. And really a fullness of this relationship is shown in this musical, which is great. Written by Marcia Norman and directed by Chicago's own Gary Griffin. So it's just a beautiful, beautiful show. And so we're going to have them on with us on the podcast today.
Yeah.
Very excited.
Right before we continue on the show, though, what's your favorite part of The Color Purple? What's your favorite scene? Do you have a favorite scene?
You know, I used to love Suge doing Miss Seeley's blues. I still love that moment. And I love that "you show is ugly." I love that when she shows up at the door. But I don't know why the two images that are so impressed upon my mind is like the first time when her sister is coming back, you know, with the two children, and it's just a shot, and they're walking right. back up toward the house, field. And she's starting to realize, like, that yeah. was a great moment, and the moment when she's shaving him, Danny Glover.
Yeah,
on the
tension, and then Suge is running from the juke joint back to the porch yeah. to stop her hand.
There's just a lot of great moments. They're yeah. so vivid in my head. I mean, emotionally yeah. kind of charged, and I think people are going to feel that from the musical too. They've really captured yeah. it.
My top two. I have a top three, but one of them's a musical moment. So we're gonna knock that to the side because that goes without saying. But my top two are one where she finds the first letter, and then from her sister, and they yeah. start digging through the house, and then as she finds more and more letters, just the look on Whoopi Goldberg's face
She's
and
so
the music and everything.
In this film.
Oh my God! I've got goosebumps talking about it right now. And the second one is when they're all at the dinner table, and Suge tells Mister yeah. that she's taken her with, and then when Oprah comes back to life.
Yeah.
She goes, pass me them peas. I need to eat. Sure, it's been a long
and
time since
all
I
of that is in the that. Musical. So,
oh yay!
And then the letters are done. All the letters, and you know, are done so beautifully. And it's and the dinner scene is definitely in yeah. the musical. So,
because after all this heaviness and heavy emotions, and there's just this bright light, and then it's Oprah cracking jokes and
yeah.
eating and having fun and coming back to life and becoming vibrant again. And it's just that's the whole. I mean, the whole. I had a conversation with some folks when I was in college about that movie, and you can really divide it up into the seasons. You can divide it up into everything dying away, yeah. the spring beginnings, the summer of everything living, and then the falls where everything is like going back down.
Well, it's so beautiful that you say that, because you'll really hear Jeanette Bayardell talk about what she thinks is kind of Celie's destiny, and it is a gardening metaphor. So you'll get to hear that. So that's really great. So that's going to be on our show today, plus tons of news and Jerry Potter and much, much more. So all that coming up to you after this.
Find out what happened before Dorothy dropped in at Wicked, Chicago's newest smash hit musical, and the untold story of the Witches of Oz.
Popular, I know about popular.
Popular, USA Today calls Wicked a triumph. And Time Magazine writes, if every musical had the brain, the heart, and the courage of Wicked, Broadway really would be a magical place. Now, this Grammy Award-winning blockbuster has cast its spell over Chicago. Wicked, at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater.
And nobody in all of Oz, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring me.
Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today. Because the longer you wait, the longer you'll wait to see Wicked. Sponsored by Chase.
Need a vacation from your holiday? Crave some real relaxation and cuddle time without Cousin Susie watching your every move? Not to worry. GayHotelDiscounts.com is here to help. If you're a queen in need of a king, bed that is, you can find the luxury you desire at a price you can afford. Powered by the strongest search engine on the web, GayHotelDiscounts.com are your gay travel experts.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Your amazing skills of deception can trick a deer into thinking we're just a tree out for a walk. Or a shrub having a cup of coffee.
Shrub having coffee.
Tirelessly you perfect your artistry. The squiggly black line, the blob, the slightly larger blob. All in spectacular shades of green.
Green, green, green.
Thanks to you, we look fabulous in or out of the forest. With a suit that can be easily accessorized with face paint and a few twigs.
Dressed to kill.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker. Because when it comes to blending in, you really stand out.
Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's time to dust off that tux and ball gown and throw on your dancing shoes, because the annual HRC Chicago Gala is right around the corner. Join us June 16th at the Hilton Chicago on South Michigan Avenue for HRC's Tickled Pink Gala, celebrating Chicago's GLBT community with dinner, dancing, a silent auction, and many more surprises. This year's keynote speaker is Academy Award-winning actress and newest star of The L Word, Marlee Matlin. For more, visit Tickled Pink.
kink2007.com, and tickets are on sale now at boxofficetickets.com. Just search for HRC Chicago to get your tickets today.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of March 26th, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Internationally acclaimed Hubbard Street Dance Chicago hosts Celebrity Cast Party for the gay community April 22nd. That's a Sunday. The afternoon includes the closing matinee of Hubbard Street Dance Chicago's 2007 Spring Series at the Harris Theater, followed by cocktails, refreshments, and a chance to party with the Hubbard Street dancers at the Fairmont Chicago. Tickets for the Celebrity Cast Party are available at hubbardstreetdance.com or call 866-535-535. HSDC.
Travel to the interior of Liberia with Looking Glass Theater Company's explosive world premiere, Black Diamond, The Years the Locusts Have Eaten, starting April 4th at Looking Glass Theater, located in the Water Tower Waterworks. For tickets to Black Diamond, call 312-337-0665 or visit lookingglasstheater.org.
Remy Bumpo Theater concludes its 10th year of Think Theater with Mrs. Warren's Profession by George Bernard Shaw. Censored for 8 years for airing Polite Society's Dirty Laundry, this controversial comedy full of wit and colorful characters remains as relevant today as when it was written. Mrs. Warren's Profession, playing now through April 22nd at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater. For tickets, call 773-871-3000 or visit remybumpo.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Windy City Queercast is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago and Wicked, the most popular musical in Chicago history. For tickets, visit wickedthemusical.com/Chicago. And this is your Windy City Queercast news. Southern Baptist leader, the Reverend R. Albert Moeller, Jr., has come under fire for advocating treating a fetus to change his or her sexual orientation. Gay rights groups have criticized Moeller's thinking. Harry Knox of the Human Rights Campaign said that, quote, Moeller is more than willing to let homophobia take over and be the determinant of how he responds to this issue, in spite of everything else he believes about not tinkering with the unborn. Conservatives are also riled because Moeller said that the research supports a biological basis for homosexuality.
In Washington, D.C., Mayor Adrian Fenty's recent pro-abstinence speech has many of the city's AIDS and gay rights advocates concerned. In a statement promoting March 10th through 17th as Abstinence Awareness Week in the city, Fenty, who says that he supports gay marriage, said, quote, increasing awareness that abstinence from sex outside of marriage is a desirable choice of individuals to make.
Tax documents show that HRC paid former executive director Cheryl Jaques over $150,000 last year, even though she left the organization in 2004. HRC also said that it cost $26.4 million to purchase and redo its headquarters. Jaques left suddenly in 2004 after serving for almost a year.
The University of Judaism in Los Angeles' Ziegler School of Rabbinic Studies has accepted its first out gay and lesbian applicant since conservative Judaism relaxed its view on the ordination of gays. This coming fall, a gay man and a lesbian will enroll at the school. In 1992, Rabbi Bradley Shevet Artson, the school's dean, wrote a pro-gay paper that, among other things, supported lifting the ban on gay sex.
Louisiana State University said that women's basketball coach Pokey Chatham's resignation was due to a report from assistant coach Carla Berry. Chapman suddenly left the team in early March amid allegations of improper relations with former players.
Former American Idol finalist and Oscar winner Jennifer Hudson tried to get out of performing at a recent Soul Train Awards show. However, Soul Train producer Don Cornelius allegedly called Clive Davis, who supposedly told Hudson, quote, get your ass out to L.A. Hudson received the Sammy Davis Jr. Award for Entertainer of the Year.
And in other Hudson-related news, Burger King has given her an all-you-can-eat pass for life. The offer happened after American Idol judge Simon Cowell criticized Hudson for not thanking the show during her Oscar speech. Her response was, if I'd been any better at my job when I was at Burger King in my middle teens, I wouldn't be here either, so should I thank them too?
Fred Thompson, best known as District Attorney Arthur Branch on TV's Law & Order, is considering a presidential run. Thompson, who was in the U.S. Senate from 1994 to 2003 as a Republican from Tennessee, supports the troop surge in Iraq and is against abortion and same-sex marriage.
And that's your Windy City Queercast news.
Hi, this is Patrick Bristow, and you are listening to the Windy City Queercast. What do you think of that?
Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY.
God forgot about me. God taking his good time getting around to you, I'll admit, but look at all they give us. Laughing and singing and sex. Sky over our heads, birds singing to us. I think it pissed God off if anybody even walked past the color purple in a field and not notice it. He say, look what I made for you.
God's just another man, far as I'm concerned. He trifling and low down.
No, silly! God not some gloomy old man like the pictures you've seen of him. God not a man at all. God is inside you and everyone else that was or ever will be. We come into this world with God, but only them who look inside find it. God is the flowers and everything else that was or ever will be. When you feel the truth so real, and when you love the way you feel, you found it. Just as sure as moonlight blessed the night, like a blade of corn, like a honeybee, like a water.
The producing team of The Color Purple brings the musical, nominated for 11 Tony Awards, to Oprah's hometown, Chicago, at the beautiful Cadillac Palace Theater. The Color Purple, the musical, took Broadway by storm, hailed by critics as roof-raising, epic, and a Broadway hit. Now, I saw it, and I say that for Chicago, it is the must-see show of the year. Headlining the Chicago company as Celie is Jeanette Bayardel, who comes directly from the Broadway production, also portraying Celie, and Michelle Williams, former member of Destiny's Child, as the gal everyone loves, Shug Avery. Welcome to Chicago, ladies.
Thank you.
So now this may be kind of your first foray into living in Chicago for an extended period of time. You're in New York for a while?
I am a New Yorker. I was born and raised in Bronx, New York. I live in Rockland County now. And here I am in Chicago, the windy city.
It's windy this
windy.
Spring.
Yes.
Yeah. They don't call it windy because of the actual wind, they say. They say it's because of the politicians back in the time. Like,
is that
were
right?
Blowhards. But
wow.
I think it's because of the wind nowadays. So, but Michelle, you're almost coming home because people might not know that you're from Rockford, Illinois.
Yes, born and raised.
Yeah. So let's just talk a little bit about, this is the only question I'm going to ask you about it. I just want to know, what do you miss about Destiny's Child? Is there something about it that you just, you're like, oh.
I guess just the three of us always being together, you know, we're like, it's weird to, like, them not being here, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? But you meet so many other wonderful people that become your sisters, you know, it's like God always, you know, has you in different arenas just so that you don't, you know, some people have the same two people their whole life, but it's like now we can branch out. We're getting older. We can meet different people that we really click with as we get older and we mature. But, you know, also the fun girl moments, you know, that we would have.
I never even thought about this until you just said that, but there's almost like a triumvirate of three women in this show, Celie, Shug, Sophia, which Felicia and I were talking about. So now, you recently performed on Broadway in Aida, and I want to know, what is the difference for you in performing in concert, and what is the difference in performing in a Broadway show?
Well, I'm trying to get out of the whole performing as you're in concert on the Broadway stage, because it's different. You just can't bust out in a song on Broadway theater. It kind of has to flow from dialogue. And so that's what I'm being taught, more so than Aida. I think I had a lot of hands-on time with the producers of Aida, but now Gary Griffith is like, no, you're performing. And I'm like, okay. So just learning, you know, and you can't forget your words on Broadway. Now, if you were performing,
the audience might still sing along.
If you forgot your words, you could put your mic out in the audience and say, sing. And you catch your breath if you're tired. But on the stage, it's like, unless it's that kind of show,
yeah,
where the audience is, but I've never seen that kind of musical where the audience is up dancing.
Yeah. They'll be on their feet by the end of your show, I guarantee.
No, they are. I've seen The Color Purple in New York a couple times.
And Jeanette, you probably know a lot about this. I mean, about what it takes night after night. I mean, I honestly, when I saw the show in New York, I mm-hmm. thought, my Lord, the actress that has to play that role. I don't know if there's ever been a role. I mean, not even Evita sings as much, mm-hmm. goes through as much of a journey from
a journey.
14 to
about 50.
To 50. And just the absolute stamina it must take. What do you think makes the musical The Color Purple so successful that literally I can tell Michelle that your opening night people will be on their feet?
The story itself is universal, and everyone can relate to it. It doesn't matter what color you are, what religion you are, everyone can find a piece of them in that story.
Yeah.
And that alone carries it. And there are so many other wonderful things along with that. Mm-hmm. The music.
Yeah, just fantastic.
And the actors and the actresses. And faith and hope.
What do people say to you when you walk out the stage door? What are the comments that you go, I hear this comment a lot?
I feel changed. I feel like I can accomplish anything. I want to reconcile with a loved one that I stopped speaking to. So many different things. I've gained courage to get out of an abusive relationship.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's interesting because both of you have a gospel roots background.
Yes.
And I think the point of gospel music, or this is my opinion, everyone, but, you know, because I grew up in East Tennessee in a very rural, southern religious upbringing, too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the point of it is kind of transformation and connection to something higher and bigger than us, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's truly kind of the theme of, becomes kind of the message and journey and theme of every character in this play. Do you feel like your both of your roots, and this is a question either of you can answer, you know, that kind of foundation to your life, you're able to bring that to this show?
I think so. And it definitely, like you said, it's transferable. So it transfers in the work. And it's what we do through our music is we want to bring the love of God to people.
Right.
And I believe that this show does that.
Yeah.
The love of God and the faith in God and hope. Again.
When she says, you know, God is inside me and it's in everything.
Exactly.
You know, it's such a beautiful message. What did impact, Michelle? Do you remember when you saw the film and what impact did it have on you? Just your first, you know, recollection of where you were in that movie and being a young African American woman. I think so, like 86, 87, 88.
I was probably 6 or 7 when it came out. So
it may not be when it came out, but did you watch it on video or the first time you ever saw it?
I think we saw it in the theater. Of course, my mom, at their times, her and my dad couldn't find a date, so we were always the big
that is hand over the eyes
in the movie theater. Yeah. So anyway, did I say a date or a babysitter?
A babysitter. Okay, you need a babysitter.
Oh, they couldn't find a babysitter.
So they'd take you, but they would conceal your eyes in the parts.
Yes. Purple Rain. I can never forget.
Do you remember, Jeanette, when you first saw the film or how it impacted you?
The first time.
Or read the book?
I've watched the film over 100 times.
Wow.
Yes, it is my favorite movie. Unfortunately, I can't really watch it anymore.
Right.
Because I'm in it and it
it's too close.
Just messes you up.
Yeah.
But it was my favorite movie. And I would quote the lines.
Oh, yeah.
And I can still quote every line in this show and every line in that movie.
Yeah. I mean, I remember that was the year that The Color Purple and Out of Africa came out, and both those movies were so impactful to me, just really transforming. So I want to talk about that. Finally, in the musical The Color Purple, audiences are going to see a relationship of these two women, Suge and Celie, given focus in a way that really the Spielberg Oscar-nominated movie kind of underplayed, I would say. The musical version of The Color Purple acknowledges the full relationship of Celie and Suge as lovers, as very significant women to each other. And Alice Walker has said that was really important to her. And back in a few months ago in the winter, I interviewed Gary Griffin, who's a buddy of mine, and he said, you know, he thought it was so important, you know, for Celie to understand love through, you know, Suge's love and learning to love her and be loved by her and listen to her and trust that. So let's find out a little bit more about these characters. Michelle, tell us about Suge. You know, what is it about Suge? You know, who is Suge, and what does Suge see in Celie?
Okay, Suge is just this this feisty woman who is known to, you know, speak her mind a lot. I really think she's misunderstood by a lot of people, by the whole town, and it's like once you would sit down and really get to know her, really get to know why she is the way she is, you're like, oh, okay, well, she's not so bad after all. I mean, I could take a few lessons from Suge, although I think Suge acts out sometimes because of things that she lacked growing up, you know, which was, you know, just being accepted for who she was by her father.
Right. They both have father issues.
Yeah, although her father, you know, had such a, you know, he was a preacher, so I can imagine me growing up how there was this expectation that, you know, I shouldn't be going to the nightclubs. I shouldn't be hanging out with all the wrong people other than the people I went to church with.
And she was a Memphis girl. Like, Suge was in Memphis,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and you got to remember the blues in Memphis, Beale Street. You know, I could see Suge on Beale Street hitting the different juke joints and clubs every single night going in and out of the clubs. But I think her heart, like my grandmother always says, she means well.
She does mean well. And she has that wonderful song, Too Beautiful for Words, that really is just, I don't know, that moment in the play seems like it just clicks something for Celie that I love. So, Jeanette, tell us how Celie becomes changed because of this woman.
Well, I believe that Celie had good seeds planted in her at a young age. She had her sister who was always telling her that, you know, you're smart and I'll teach you and I'll help you and we'll conquer the world. And Celie was into nature and her sister was into school and they had dreams. But when she lost her sister, she lost that. I mean, the seeds were still within Celie.
Right.
But she didn't have anyone to ward them at that point. So she didn't have that. And she went from, you know, her father giving her away to a husband, and then her sister leaving her. So the only influence that Celie had at that point was Mister,
right,
who she was distant from. She didn't even know his name for years.
Right. I love that moment.
You know what I mean? She didn't know his name for years. And he didn't do any watering.
Right.
He did a couple of planting and watering bad seeds that maybe she's gotten from her stepdad.
Right.
You're ugly. You're worth nothing. You're nothing without me. So Suge comes along, and she starts, as they develop their relationship, Suge comes and she starts to water the good seeds and start planting more seeds that were good seeds. And in watering those seeds, Celie, you know, eventually finds her own inner voice, and she says, you know what? I am beautiful. You know what? I am worth something. You know, wait a minute. I have a voice. I have an opinion. And that's what Suge helped Celie do. And when Celie decides to leave Mister, not only does she decide to leave him, but she, in her mind, I'm going to leave you and I'm going to be okay. Because she could have decided to leave him, but still like, oh God, you know, what am I going to do? You know, I am ugly. But no, I'm going to leave you and I'm going to be okay because I am beautiful.
And there comes a point, I'm jumping way ahead, but there comes a point where she leaves Suge to a certain extent.
And Suge helps that. She right. helped her find that voice.
Right.
And it carried on.
Yeah.
And that shows you how authentic it was within Celie that, you know.
Yeah. I do want to go back, though, because they have written you two, I think, one of the most beautiful love duets in the history, in at least the past decade. What About Love? It's just a beautiful song. It echoes throughout the show. What is it about that song? I mean, it just got to feel fantastic to sing that song.
It's great singing it. And I feel like that song depicts the relationship that Celie and Shug has throughout the show. Celie starts off, "Is that me who's floating away? Lifted up to the clouds by a kiss. Never felt nothing like this." And I feel like there's a lot of symbolism in that. Because yes, the kiss, because visually that's what you see. But it's not just the kiss. Celie has never had a relationship with a female outside of her sister, like this one.
Yeah.
She never had someone who actually cared about what she thought and someone who took time to say, "Girl, you don't let no man talk to you like that." That sisterhood, she never had that type of sisterhood.
Right.
Her sisterhood that she experienced as a child. And it was like, "We're going to do this and I'm going to take care of you and I love you." But this was different. Shug came to her when she was at a low.
Right.
Where it was, she gave up.
Right.
And in turn, and I know Michelle can speak on this further, but Shug never had a relationship with a woman.
Right, because hers were all with men.
And the women that she did come in contact, they were intimidated by Shug. And they didn't like her, and they put her to the side. But Celie had no motives against Shug. And it was authentic. And it was like, well, let me help you with your dress, and let me help you comb your hair. So that friendship alone, that song, in my opinion, depicts that relationship.
Well, and I think Shug does have these huge, like, I call them aha moments, where she's like, "Wow, you know, you have no idea what you're giving me."
Right.
You know, what about that moment? Is that something that you can find in that song?
Definitely. Well, even when it goes into "Too Beautiful," but, you know, Shug says, "Man, if I had an ounce of what you got," or "what you have," should we say? "If I had an ounce of what you got, I wouldn't have to run around shaking my boobs and waving my booty in front of everybody's face." But she looks at Celie, "You've got so many wonderful qualities that it's normal to look at somebody who's got the glitz and the glamour and yada yada, and you look at them and, God, they got everything. They gotta be happy." But yet she the one looking at you wanting what you have.
It is, once again, like that false intimacy. Like Celie's never had any intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no one, you know, and I've always heard that phrase of like, "into me see," like "into me see" with the word intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
But you have also not had that, because Shug has kind of had this false intimacy that I'll get right up in your face. I'll sleep with you. I'll do whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's beautiful that they kind of find this intimate relationship. I want to just know, real quick, because I just have a couple of minutes. What is your favorite moment in the show, Jeanette? Is it the most obvious that I'm here? I mean, is it the big number to finally end the journey?
I can't say. I have so many favorite moments. The journey is so wonderful. Honestly, I have many favorite moments. I'm here. Dear God, I love this woman. So many different places in the show that I love.
Well, that's good, because it'll keep it fresh night after night. And Michelle, you're about to release your first solo CD. You're working on it. What do you want that to express about you, to kind of set you apart possibly, or connect you to your journey of Destiny's Child, of Color Purple, of...
Actually, it's my third solo CD.
Oh, it is?
My first R&B record.
First R&B, that's what I meant.
Gospel.
Yeah.
So this time I'm going into a whole, I shouldn't say a different arena, I've been in it before, but solo-wise, choosing to do, to me, I felt like I went through a period of my life where I said, I got to get it out, I got to write about it, you know, so it may not fit the gospel format. Although my second CD, I think, even talked about love and relationships and, you know, working it out with God, letting Him, you know, handle some things. But of course, I think the natural part of me too wants to do it. You know what I mean? So,
well, God's got some rhythm and blues. Yeah. And we learned from the color
but
purple.
But you know what? Even doing R&B, you know, I've still got a huge gospel fan base. So I wouldn't dare want to do anything to upset them or do anything. First of all, that's not me. But at the same time, I didn't want to be put in a box either.
Right.
So, but I can't go too far from my roots, which was gospel. So
you sound like Suge Avery. Well, ladies, thank you all so much. I hope you have a wonderful time.
Thank
Michelle
you.
Will show you how great Illinois hospitality can be.
Yes,
Jeanette, it's going to be great to have you all here. We hope the show stays for a long, long, long time. But it is The Color Purple starts in Chicago on April 17th. Supposedly playing till late July. I think it'll be here longer, but I think you should get your tickets now because you're going to want to see it again and again and again. It's playing at the Cadillac Palace Theater, and if you'd like more information and tickets, just go to BroadwayInChicago.com. That's your easiest way to get any information that you need and to buy your tickets because you should get them now before they're gone. It will be the hottest ticket in town.
That's right.
The city is turning purple, folks. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
I want you to be a star for me that I can believe in forever. And what about love? Will you be my light in the storm?
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
What about tears when I'm happy? What about wings when I fall? I want you to be a star for me that I can believe in forever. And
the best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.